Professor of the Institute on the Constitution for the IOTC on Education Outreach that presents the Founders' American View of Law and Government. The IOTC has produced thousands of graduates in all 50 states with a full understanding of the biblical principles on which America's founding documents are based. Jake is an ordained minister and former syndicated talk show host who has spoken to audiences nationwide and has established the American Club, a constitutional study group in public and private schools. Jake has been seen on Yahoo News, Fox News, The Blaze, Associated Press, CBS, NBC, The Weekly Standard, and more. Please help welcome Jake with a warm Alexandria welcome.
And thank you all of you, and thank you for those beef tips. They were wonderful. It's good to be here. It's always great to be back in Minnesota. I'm originally from Minnesota. I grew up in New Ulm, Minnesota. We used to come up here and beat you guys in baseball quite a bit. So that's what we did. Now, it's still only have 3 hours, so you're going to have to write down our website to get the rest of the information. We also got a Facebook and a Twitter handle up there. The videos that we're playing before, when everybody was kind of mingling, are videos that we do on a weekly basis. They're 3-minute YouTube videos, and we comment on what is new in the press, what is mainstream, and what we do is we apply the American view of law and government to these issues. A lot of people bark very loud in the political climate right now. We tend to polarize ourselves, and then we get on the team that we agree with the most. Well, the bottom line is it's not what we agree with, it's what is right.
Amen.
And so we give that view, it's called the American view, and we apply that, which is based on the biblical view of law and government. Before I start any presentation, I always like to do an IQ test. So I was speaking yesterday, I'll be down at the Mache conference for the next 2 days, speaking at that, it's a homeschool convention. I was in Hudson last night, and so it was a long drive to get here, so my brain's a little foggy. Some of you may have seen these questions. If you have, please tell me so that I don't ask you to answer them. But, sir, would you do me a favor? Would you tell me how many of each animal Moses brought in the ark with him? Two? I remember that story differently. Moses split the sea, and he just walked. No, that's right. It's not fair, right? Is it possible, sir, up here in the front row, is it possible to end a sentence with the word the? It's not possible to end a sentence with the word the? I just did it twice. And that's the sense of the word "thought." Oops. All right. How about what's the next one? What's the name of the raised print, Tim, the deaf people use? The raised print. Braille? That's blind people, but deaf people. Is it proper to say egg yolks is white or egg yolks are white? Young man in the purple shirt. Can you tell me? Egg yolks are white? No, they're yellow, actually. This is my favorite. Now, some of you are getting bold, and you're speaking when I'm not talking to you. Please stop that, okay? Ma'am, can you spell shop out loud for me? It's right up on the board. Shop. Yes, ma'am. One more time. What did you do to green light? You
stop.
Don't follow her out of the parking lot. The light's going to turn green, so stop. You will rear end her. Go. Nice you did. She said, I gave you what you wanted. Some people, thank you. Thank you for that. Give her a hand. Come on. You can do it. That's true. When people get them right, I just feel really awkward, and then that starts out a horrible way for me. Some people don't like the way I spell intelligence. That is the common core way of spelling intelligence. This is the Institute on the Constitution. We're an organization that started in 2002. Our founder is Michael Anthony Peruca, an attorney. He realized, you know what? I took an oath to uphold the Constitution, took the bar exam, went through law school, and I never even studied the Constitution. You know why? Because they don't teach it in law school. The Constitution is a thing of the past. They study case law method. It's the world we live in, where law evolves. It's a very dangerous, slippery slope.
Amen.
But that's the result. As a result, it's been very destructive, and it's also led to the moral decay, I believe, in America. But Michael started this organization to teach Americans how to think American. I'm now the current president. I was not always the president of the Institute on the Constitution. I grew up, as I said, in New Ulm, Minnesota. I was very good in athletics and academics. I lettered by ninth grade through sports, and very good in academics too. I had college scholarships awaiting. I got involved with the wrong crowd of friends. Everybody knows the story, right? I went through treatment four times, and I ended up getting kicked out of school as a senior. I would have went to jail, but I was only 17. So they stuck me in this Looney Tune place called Teen Challenge. Anybody heard of it? I remember Pastor Rich, when we used to have to pray to make sure that we could get lunch the next day. Now they're super huge. They're everywhere. I think they got enough lunch now. But I remember when we were just down in the hood, 33rd and Nicollet. Gunshots every night. The building next to us got burnt down, and I was learning about Jesus. That's where I became a Christian. That's what changed my life. That's not why I'm wearing a suit and tie today, but I'll tell you what, if you'd have looked at me back then, you'd have said, yep, that's the reason America's going to hell in a handbasket. Look at that kid. He can't even pull up his pants. But God changed that life, and he turned it around. It was a miracle. And I'm grateful for it. I've prayed every day since I was 17, and I've pursued God's will for my life, and that has led me here. And I'll tell you why it led me here, because when I became a Christian, I wanted to tell everybody about it. I was an evangelist for the devil, and I was an evangelist for God, right? And so in doing so, we thought it would be a good idea to go into public schools and tell kids about it, right? To stop the destruction of the life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Common sense to me. Little did I know there was a war on Christianity in the public venues. Now, I'm not speaking of teachers or administrations or principals. I think there's plenty of wonderful Christian, God-fearing people in the public school system trying to do right. But I can tell you the public school system is not doing right. It will not continue to succeed because it's not the jurisdiction and the authority of the civil government to educate our kids. Who has kids? Families have kids. It's our job to train and raise our kids. And when we eliminate God from those institutions, nothing good is going to happen. It's going to corrupt, as the Bible says. It's just kind of like when you have really nice rims and you don't drive them when you go through the car wash. What happens? They corrode, right? They oxidize. It's a corruption. That's what happens when you take Christ out of these elements. So going into these schools, we started getting in trouble. And I don't like when people tell me no. I'm still a counterculture kid. You know, when you tell me not to do something, guess what I want to do? And I want to touch it if you said don't touch it. And this was really upsetting me because I was on the right side now. I was a part of the good side. I was a Jedi. It's no longer on the dark side. And I'm just telling kids about Jesus. What's wrong with that? Well, they didn't like that. I didn't realize there was a cultural war on Christianity either. I just thought Christians were dorks and nerds, and I didn't want anything to do with it. I did not realize this was going on, so that set me to study. I studied men like David Barton. I studied our founding fathers. I studied the Constitution. I started to realize, hold up! We have segued a long ways from the foundations of America. And that concerned me as a Christian. And I saw that the battlefront wasn't necessarily, now don't get me wrong, I would never want to pastor a church. I am an ordained minister. That's hard work, man. God bless you, pastors. Anoint you and everything. That's tough work. But it's what's outside of the buildings. That's where the war is. And the war will come inside the building soon if we don't hold up a good front as Christians in our culture. Would you agree?
Amen.
Especially with the way government now is dictating businesses. Many of you are business owners. How many of y'all like that? Do you like when they tell you what you can do and can't do on your private property? Now, many of you may have Bibles. Some of you might have Bibles with covers and pages in here. But if you do, Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, God created man and woman in his own image, right? Created them equal. He gave them the right to life. He also gave them the right to liberty. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And he gave them the right to property. He said, take dominion, subdue the land. God gave us those fundamental rights. And he gives us those rights. He's the one that protects those rights. He creates the laws that do so. And those laws are found, the biblical basis of those laws is the foundation of American law and government. We have a senior instructor. He's a pastor, David Whitney, Vice President Massey Campos. He's a first generation American. Both of his parents immigrated here from Mexico. And the dean of instructors, Ricky Pepin. So we're culturally diverse. We even got women. It's all there, guys. I love showing that screen to the media. And that was on accident. It just happened because those are the players God has put in here. This is my family, my children. Let's read the bottom sentence to this. This is the reason that our founding fathers gave us the Constitution. Okay? They told us in the preamble. And it says this. Let's read it together. To secure... They weren't interested in leaving billions upon billions upon trillions of debt to their children. They were interested in leaving the blessings of liberty. They had it right. And so I want to perpetuate that to my kids. Do you want to perpetuate it to your kids? Absolutely. We love our children. Well, my children happen to be extremely intelligent. My oldest one, actually, he gave an answer in a confirmation class, and the little girl sitting next to him said, Pastor, how did he get so smart? And so the pastor pointed to me in the back of the room and said, "You see that man back there? His wife." That's my wife, Heather. I call her Dollface. She's amazing. She homeschools 4 kids. She's also a fitness instructor, and she works with Isogenics. Maybe some of you have heard of it, but she's a health coach for women all around the country who have issues and struggles with raising their kids and trying to be healthy and the stress and the strain that the life and the world brings nowadays. So I'm so proud of her and so thankful. She can't be here today because she's down at the Mache watching my table down there. And yes, I'm paying her for that. But she created a video here. I want to show you this. This is encouragement. It's to show you that the next generation can get it. I was talking with Tim today. He owns a furniture store I drove past. I did stop there, but I did get some beef jerky next door. Great jerky, by the way. The Bloody Mary stuff is amazing. But when a customer comes in and they have an empty house, it's easy to sell them furniture. You know, they're not super picky. They just need to fill their house. Everywhere I speak, guys, I am not kidding you. I wish I could multiply myself like the Matrix and have like 10,000 of me. Because everywhere I go, people have empty houses. They don't understand these principles and these fundamentals. So I can fill the house with the truth. And once that's done, we have a generation that's arising. We graduate one student for every 4 adults, by the way. Most of our outreach is to folks our age. But these students and these adults, they get filled up. They get motivated. And now they actually have a source of truth and they have an authority to be able to stand and articulate our point of view, our rationale, our reason, and show the blessings of liberty that our founders gave us. She created this video, and I just want you to be encouraged by this if you could.
Hi, I'm Heather McCauley, Jake's wife. As Jake explained to you, we were evangelical Christians in our 20s, and when we came across Institute on the Constitution and became aware of our godly heritage and the rights that we have been given, we wanted to pass that on to our children. So we've made that our personal conviction to teach them to go through the course. Our oldest 2 sons have graduated the course. They're learning the amendments, the Bill of Rights, the preamble to the Constitution, and the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. And we felt really convicted that this is our duty before God to do. And you know, we can fight and we can legislate and we can get right laws in and elect good people now. But if we fail to teach our children and our grandchildren, all is for nothing. We're going to lose everything that we have done. And so I would encourage you, as a grandparent, as a father or mother, when you have your kids or grandkids come over, that you would teach them this course. Take the course. Sit down with them. Go through the amendments. Go through the fact that these kids have God-given rights, that they need to know them. They need to be aware of our Constitution and how our government is founded, so they can be educated and we can maintain the liberties that we are fighting for. You educating your children is the most important thing, and I would really encourage you to take the course and teach it to them. Thank you so much. God gave us his law to protect our rights. We are one nation under God.
I am Lord your God. You shall know the gods before me.
Our founders had a king who was taking away our God-given rights, and they had to remind that king that he was not God. So they declared independence, stating, "We hold these truths to be so."
It is self-evident that all men are created equal, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
After this declaration, we needed a government system that would protect our God-given rights. So we, the people of the United
States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure these blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Our ability to worship the God that gave us our rights was top priority. So Congress shall make
no law respecting the establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances.
How are the people to protect their God-given rights in the case that government is not willing or able? A well-regulated militia
being necessary to the precinct,
the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
We have many testimonies from parents and grandparents about our courses. One grandmother in particular took our course and then proceeded to teach it to her grandson, who then went to school, and the teacher gave them a history quiz. And one of the questions on the test was what form of government is America? And it gave three choices: a mobocracy, a dictatorship, or a democracy. And the grandson said to the teacher, "Ma'am, you don't have the right answer on here." And she said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "According to Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, we have been given a republic as a form of government." And she said, "Where did you learn that?" He said, "My grandma taught me." And that teacher invited that grandmother to come in and teach the Constitution to the rest of the class in the correct perspective through the American view that our founders gave us. And that can happen with you. And if you take those courses and you teach them, it will spread. And we would highly encourage you to do so. Thank you so much for your time and for listening. From my family to yours, thank you for listening. And we hope that you guys will teach your children the Constitution and their God-given rights.
Show you the outtake. You guys enjoy that?
Yeah.
This is the course that my wife is referring to. It's a 12 lecture course. You can get through it. It comes with DVDs. It's self-taught. If you have a homeschool student, this is a civics credit or a U.S. government credit. And just 12 tests, 12 lectures. There's some graduates we have in the room right here that have taken the course. The videos accompany it. So you can sit down, hop it in the DVD player, watch a 20-minute video, do the homework, the reviews, and the tests. It's fabulous. We have graduates in all 50 states, and we have 34 states with chapter leaders that teach this on a regular basis. So if this is what she's encouraging you all to take, I encourage you to do that as well. We have a table in the back that we'll have this stuff available for when we're done. I don't have a whole ton of time, so I'm just going to highlight, talk about a couple things, maybe some clip points that come from the course itself. The first is this. We have a Bill of Rights. Everybody knows that the Bill of Rights is the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. The Fifth Amendment says this. Let's read it together. No person shall be deprived. That's right. Your life, liberty, and property. We're going to call that LLP. When I say LLP and I point to you, I want you to say life, liberty, property. Ready? LLP? Our life, liberty, and property was given to us in Genesis 1. Remember I told you the scripture before? It's page 1 of the Bible, chapter 1, 26, 27, 28. Read through those verses, you'll see where our founders realized the God-given rights of life, liberty, property. And they didn't realize it. It was realized far beyond the men that they studied. So you have that right to life, liberty, property. How many of you believe that we're born equal in this room? Show on hands. Now, the interesting thing about this is we're actually wrong. Let's read the Declaration of Independence together. We hold these truths. Stop right there. Does that say born or created? At what point is an individual created? At conception, inside of the womb. That's right. So if we're created equal, then we have that God-given fundamental right of life, liberty, property, LLP, at conception. So in the United States of America, abortion is 100% unequivocally illegal, against the law. And I love sharing this with groups that don't agree with me. Oh, Jake, you're such a nutcase. Where have you been? You've been hiding under a rock. We all know that abortion is legal because who said it was legal? Government. Which branch of government? Supreme Court. There's 300 words in the Constitution that define Supreme Court's powers. It's about that much. There's 2,400 words that describe the executive and Congress's power. About that much. And the first sentence of the Constitution says all legislative authority is vested. That word vest means like your heart. Your heart is vested in your chest. All legislative authority is vested in a bicameral legislature. So if all means, that's all means, how much legislative authority is reserved for the president for an executive order?
None.
How about a Supreme Court?
None.
So why are we listening to the Supreme Court telling us it's okay to deny a fundamental right of life, LLP, from a created human being? Well, it's kind of like this. Say we all go to the ball game. I was in Wisconsin yesterday, so this is a little tough. And it was right on the border, so they were split. The Packers and the Vikings. But we're all Vikings fans here, right? It's a heartbreak after a heartbreak. But we all. So let's say the Vikings get to the Super Bowl. I know, it's crazy. Just say it, okay? And they're there. And they're playing at the Dome. Because isn't that what's happening? We give like $1 billion and the NFL said we could have a Super Bowl. So let's just say we're there. We're winning 50-0. And we're pounding the New England Patriots, and it feels good. So we're beating them 50-0, all of a sudden the referees come out at halftime and they say, hey, you know what? You know, in the name of fairness, justice, equality, we need to change the rules. Vikings, you now get 2 downs. Patriots, you get 9 downs. So we as fans, let's not talk about us. Most of us are moral, ethical. How about those fans, you know, that are tailgating before the game and then they come in? But what do you think they're going to do, those referees? My sentiments, exactly. Those referees are going to look like the fans do, with like no shirt and clothes on. They're going to be painted different colors, right? Why? Because the fans love football, and they're Vikings. This is the Super Bowl on the line, and they know the rules of the game because they love the game. And you're a referee. You can't change the rules. You have no authority to change the rules. And we'd remove those referees. We'd get new referees, and we'd commence the game and come home with the title, right? Not in America, though, when it comes to law. And a fundamental right of LLP. We let the referees change the rules. Imagine that. Vikings fans are like, oh man, this sucks, dude. Yeah. Wow, this is horrible. Well, we might as well drink some more beer then, right? Nothing we can do. Looks like we lost another Super Bowl. No, they wouldn't tolerate that. Not for a minute. That's what's happening in America due to ignorance in a lot of cases, due to laziness, due to entertainment. You know, there's a variety of different reasons. Sin creeps in a multitude of fronts. It's very deceptive, too. A right is something you have the freedom to exercise. You do not have the freedom to break the law. What if I came and I ran for office, I was a politician? Politicians nowadays, in order for them to win, they got to give you something, right? So I'm going to give you the right to fly. How many of you would like to fly in here? Raise your hand, come on. Be cool, wouldn't it? The rest of you are too old, because flying like Superman would be amazing. But what's stopping us from flying? So as a politician, so I'm going to give you the right to... Fine, I gotta get rid of that old crusty law called gravity. Who created gravity? That's right. And we all know what God is nowadays, right? He creates these laws because he's sexist. He doesn't want women to fly. He's homophobic. He doesn't want homosexuals to fly. He's bigoted. He doesn't want Muslims to fly. He's racist. He doesn't want black people to fly, right? That's why he created gravity. So we're gonna get rid of that old horrible law. I don't know how we've existed for 200 years with the law of gravity, honestly. It hates so many people. I'm going to give you the right to fly, and we pass it through Congress. It goes through. The president signs it. He loves the idea. Hey, I'll be the first president. People can fly. The Supreme Court says, hey, we're evolving. Things are changing. Besides, everybody believes what we say, so we'll give you the right to fly. Sure. Tomorrow morning, we get up on top of the ballroom here. We're going to fly. I'll let you go first, because I'm the politician. What's going to happen when we jump? To die. I love little girls in school say, well, you're going to die. I said, what do you mean? No, you're going to fly. Because the brightest minds in our country, you know, Congress, they said you could. The most powerful man in the world, the president, said you could. The Supreme Court, brilliant jurists and attorneys from all of the, you know, their intellectual capital is unsurmountable. They said you could fly. Little girl says, then you try it first. Right? She's not dumb. You can't break the law of nature. You don't have the freedom to break the law. Freedom is found inside of the law, in the confines of the law, just like a village surrounded by a wall. You start tearing down that wall, guess where the enemy comes in? And threatens our LLP. We eliminate God's laws. It's a pretty basic concept. Our founding father said, well, this is what law is. We know where law comes from. You can see it in nature, gravity, scientific laws, things we can deduct with human reason and intellect. And also, down there, let's say this together. I want you to repeat this phrase, laws of nature and nature's God. Ready? Laws of nature and nature's God. If you're a Christian, you should have that memorized. Every time somebody asserts that you should shut your mouth with your faith, your Christianity, your public display of it, and all that nonsense, you need to be backed with this. If a law that Congress spits out, I don't care how big it is and how brilliant they are, if it's against the law of nature and nature's God, that is what it says in the Declaration of Independence. We have a fundamental right. According to the laws of nature and nature's God, they were referring to the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why they signed the Constitution in the year of our Lord. Even those that are accused of being deists and God-haters, they all signed it in the year of our Lord. They acknowledged that Jesus Christ was Lord. That is the fundamental basis of law in America. And that's why we're in crazy town right now. We're in a make-believe world. The Founding Fathers said that when the king came down with legislation that was against the laws of nature and nature's God, you know what they called it? It's in the Declaration of Independence. Pretended legislation. Let's say that together. pretended legislation. Like when your daughter says, let's have a tea party, and she gives you a cup and there's nothing in it. That frustrates me. There's nothing in it, honey. Dad, it's pretend. I don't like pretend. Put some tea, do something. Pretended legislation. And the king said, you're breaking my laws. And the colonists said, no. Those are pretended offenses that broke any law. Because law belongs to God, not government. This is not rebellious speaking, guys. And ultimately, if you look at it, what's the first sentence of the preamble of the Constitution say? We are the government. We are. Mary Frances from here, right? She's become a friend of mine. She's a great lady. She'd sit down with us all here and collaborate with you. She doesn't think she's better than you because she's we the people. She just happened to have certain authorities delegated to her, and there's regulations and guidelines for those authorities. This is what it takes to be American. It does not take a driver's license, a social security number, or a birth certificate. Even if it's from Hawaii. This is what makes you American. Some of you got that. There is a God. Let's say it together.
There is a God.
Our rights come from Him.
Our rights come from Him.
The purpose of civil government is to secure God-given rights. Now God says that in the book of Daniel. He says it in Romans 13. The Declaration of Independence also says that. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. There is a creator God. They're endowed by the creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are LLP or pursuit of happiness in the Declaration. They changed the wording because at that particular time Jefferson saw that men treated people as property. What an abomination. And boy, we've suffered for it, haven't we? America is not perfect. God is not Republican. This has nothing to do with them. This is a way for us to be able to take God's word and apply it in all regions of life. One of the most important regions is government, let me tell you. Because if we don't, then we'll have a bunch of Nebuchadnezzars, Caesars, Hitlers, Stalins, and dictators persecuting your religious liberty to come here and have a great, you know, steak tips dinner and worship God and freely go home and do what we want to do. That's all under threat if we lose the ball on this sense of what God gave us called government. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. The Mayflower Compact, the first governing document, said at the very end why they came here, having undertaken, this was a government document, by the way, it's in the National Archives building. That's a beautiful place to go if you ever go to D.C. I encourage you to do it. It's where our headquarters is. Call us if you're there and give you a tour of our office. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Muslim faith. Is that what it says?
Christian faith.
The deist faith. The Buddhist faith. No, it didn't say any of those. And I'm not slighting Muslims, deists, Buddhists, atheists. I have a lot of friends that are all of those. But in a Christian nation, guess what? We believe they were created in God's image and they have the right to LLP. No matter what the religious creed is. However, freedom is only found in the confines of the law. They do have to obey the law. And that law is not Sharia law. The law is the one given from the law giver. That's why Moses is on all the rotundas all throughout the country. That's why God is acknowledged in the preamble of every single state constitution. Because God is the author of our rights. God is the one who gave us law. And we can't change that law. No matter how smart we get, our nice clothes, no matter how rich we get, we can't change that law. We can only suffer the consequence for breaking it, just like we would suffer the consequence for thinking we could fly jumping. We would fly for about a second. But then reality sets in, doesn't it? And reality is setting in on a daily basis across our nation. Unfortunately, most of us aren't suffering the repercussions of it. Our children are. And it's horrible to see what we're leaving to our posterity. Isaiah 33:22 gave us three branches of government. Take a look. So many branches we have in America. They studied the Bible, guys. The Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. But notice only God is in all three seats. He's the only one we can truly trust with all of our power. And I love all of you guys. You guys are great people. I don't know most of you. But I would never trust anybody in this room with all of my individual liberties. I just wouldn't do it. I don't even trust myself with my individual liberties. You remember what I did by the time I was 17? Yeah. So we have to trust God, and we have three branches of government, so we separated them. We give them distinct powers, and we said, be jealous over this, and check and balance each other. Because man is sinful, that's why we need government, right? But government is populated with what? Not angels. Can I get an amen? People, so we have to check and balance that power. We have to limit it. We have a concept called up against the wall. It's the separation of church and state. It's the four jurisdictions that God gave. I don't have time to go through this. No, I definitely don't have time to go through this. But I would like to. And I'm coming back in July. I'd love to speak in your church. I'd love to speak to your tea party group, your school, your homeschool, co-ops, whatever. I would love to do that when I come back then, and maybe I can go through this. But God basically gave three jurisdictions of government. He gave family government, he gave self-government, he gave church government, and he gave civil government. Civil government only has two responsibilities: to secure your God-given rights by defending the borders and administering the justice system. Nancy Pelosi can't kick open the doors of your church service on Sunday morning and start preaching, can she? Would you like that? Hillary Clinton? Donald Trump? No. You could kick his butt right out the door, even if he is president, because it's a separation of church and state. He has no right to come in and coerce us to believe or worship a certain way. That's what separation of church and state means. But what they want you to think it believes is separation of God and government. Are we separated from God as individuals? No. We owe him allegiance. That's our duty. First commandment, second commandment. Is the family separated from God? Is the church separated from God?
No.
Well, what in the world do we think the government is separated from God for? He created it for us to protect us. It said there in 13:4 in the Bible, Romans 13:4, God, our government, is a minister. Okay, let's say this together one more time. This is the American view of law and government. There is a God. Our rights come from Him. The purpose of civil government is to secure our God-given rights. Well, I'm not the sharpest man in the world, but I think you all sound American. That's about all that I have time to, but I do want you to know this, okay? If we're not created equal, then we evolve equal. And there's a lot of government regimes that believe in evolution. This is the danger of that. I know Dr. Kent Ham is a very good friend of mine. He's a friend of our ministry. We spoke at his place. He spoke at our place. Wonderful guy. He does the science stuff, you know? Remember, I got kicked out of school as a senior. I'm not overly bright, but I do know this. If we believe in creation, you're created equal with LLP. I like that deal, don't you? I think Uncle Cy would, too. But if you evolve equal, what do you think is going to happen? Well, then who's going to determine who has evolved with the right to LLP? Who's going to determine that? Well, the government is, of course. They got the most guns, the most muscle, and the most money. Might be a gang, but whatever. They're going to be the government. And at that particular point, you have what you had in Germany in the 1940s. 30s, when Hitler confiscated all the Jews' property. If you're a Jew, you lost your business, your savings account, your home, your wealth, your jewelry, even your gold teeth. You didn't have the right to property. You hadn't evolved enough. You're an animal, or worse than an animal. You didn't have the right to liberty. You had to live in a ghetto or a concentration camp. You didn't have the right to life. You could be shot and killed. Nobody got in trouble. Until the Nuremberg Trials. The Nuremberg Trials came, and you know what they said? The Germans said, well, we didn't break the law. They didn't break man's law. But then the jurist from America said, no, no, there's a greater law than your law. The laws of nature and nature's God. And justice was served. The next morning they lost their lives due to capital punishment because of the crimes and the atrocities they had committed. That's what God does. God is love, and God demonstrates that. And our government is a portion of that love, the protector of that love. Because you can wind up in one or two camps, guys. There's only two camps of philosophies in government. It's the pagan view, which is the view we all read about in the Bible. It's where the state is divine, their God, right? Their authority is unlimited. You can't tell God what to do. And thirdly, you're going to end up worshiping them. Think about it. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. There's my statue. Worship it. If you don't, I'm going to punish you. You're going to lose your LLP, your life, liberty, property. Think about all the early New Testament Christians. What did Caesar say? Listen, we don't care if you worship God, but you need to pinch incense, Caesar, because he's a god, right? And Romans had tons of gods. How'd that work for them? Christians said, no, there's only one true God. That worship belongs to him. And when you have a government that is demanding worship from you, it's going to lead to tyranny based off evolution. They're better than you, and there's just nothing you can do about it. Over in the biblical view, which is the American view of government, this is what I teach, I strive to teach. If you take our course, you will learn it. And it's the view that liberates. It's the view that blesses the world. It's the city set on the hill that holds this view. It says that government is divinely ordained. God gave it. Why did he give it? For our good. But he limited their authority. He said, give to Caesar what Caesar's, because he's here to protect you. But give to God what? Not what Caesar doesn't want. He put it into perspective and limited Caesar. So no, there is a God. Caesar's here, he's got a legit authority. You better not go outside of it, because just like your pastor, if he came up to the pulpit this Sunday and said, hey, you know what? Got the church secretary pregnant, I'm gonna need a pay raise, guys. Can you elders see to that? We'll see you next week. Would you keep that pastor? No, because he went outside of the bounds of biblical law, didn't he? Ethics and morality. You would discipline that pastor. It's no different in government. They're not above the law. How many people are on their second and third marriages in Congress? I believe in the redemptive power of Christ and forgiveness. Trust me. I'm an example of it. You all know Alexander Hamilton, right? He's on your $10 bill. He was a super powerful political figure, but then he never won an office, a public office, after one act in his life. You know what it was? He committed adultery on his wife. And the people said, oh no, if you're going to break that covenant, the most important covenant you can make on this earth, we're not trusting you with power. Are you kidding me? You can still serve, you can volunteer, but you're not going to a seat of power. Because they understood covenant and the rules and the laws of God and what those things meant. Well, when you have limited authority of government, you have what we have in our veterans. How many of you love our veterans? Anybody complain about paying taxes to pay for prosthetic limbs or PTSD counseling? I don't either. Because I'm patriotic. I love our veterans. Do our veterans shove health care down your throat? They tell you what you can do inside of your business? Do they tell you how you can educate your kids? No, they don't do any of that. They're doing what government's supposed to do. Secure the rights of the governed. How many of you have problems with some of the other politicians and the scams they come up with? How many of you suffer the repercussions of that? It doesn't sound like protection, does it? Again, because they've gone outside of the bounds. They're not in a biblical view of government. They're in a pagan view of government. It's going to result in a republic based off creation. We're all created equal. No one's higher than any other. Rich, poor, doesn't matter about your creed. We're all created in God's image. George Washington said, if you want to succeed in political establishment, religion and morality are your essential pillars. Samson brought down the pillars, the whole building came down. George Washington said, in vain would that man claim tribute to patriotism, who would labor to subvert the great pillars of human happiness. Sometimes we have to be firm and assertive as Christians. I think the ACLU and the Americans United for Church and State Separation or whatever these lunatic law firms are doing, and that's what they are. They're lunatic. They've gone outside of their mind. They are working to subvert the very pillars that hold up the prosperity and the happiness that we have as America. The ability to be able to create programs like Teen Challenge and bless people. The ability to have these amazing churches. Guys, every one of you go to an amazing church right now. If you've got a flat screen television and technology and wireless cool mics like this, you are blessed. The New Testament church didn't have anything coming close to that. And that's because religion and morality upheld the culture to allow us to get to the point where we're at right now. If you labor to subvert those things, you're an enemy to America.
Amen.
You just are. I don't want you to be. You've chosen that. And I believe George Washington would have said that to every one of these organizations. He would have shown them the truth first, of course. When we deny that, folks, there's nothing short of destruction in America. I don't see that happening right now in America. Can I show you some pictures of what I do see? I see graduates in all 50 states from our curriculum. Those certificates we give to them when we graduate, I'll fly around the country and graduate folks that are taking this course. And they're multiplying. It's fabulous. I see chapter leaders rising up saying, you know what, I don't want to just take this course. I want to teach it. I need to teach it to people. You know, I'm on the end years of my life, or some of them are parents, and they want their kids to get this because they realize how crazy the climate is today. That encourages me. We speak in churches and groups. Those churches and groups encourage me. Sometimes it's easy to say, nobody gets this, nobody cares, nobody's talking about it. No, no, they are, trust me. We just don't get a lot of play from the mainstream, right? Unless they're making fun of us. But that's okay. The early church was persecuted. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, guess what? They'll do it to you. You're not above your master. That's okay. It's a joy. Sometimes. Most of the time, not so much. But it can be. American class. You know, like when you get out of prison like Peter, right? Not very fun being James when you actually end up. Yeah. American clubs. These are student groups, colleges, elementary schools. We even have Boy Scout troops teaching our courses for AmeriBadge. That's great. Boy Scouts learn how it is to be American. It's a good idea, don't you think? It's a sad thing that they weren't always teaching that, but they're... Anyways, I'm sorry. Homeschool conventions. They do in a lot of ways. I went to Boy Scouts. I was kicked out of that too, though. So. I've been redeemed. Homeschool conventions. We're in homeschool conventions. We teach this curriculum. We get a civics credit. Liberty camps. We do a patriot camp. Just like a vacation Bible camp. We have the curriculum for it. We'd love to help you start one. Costumes. Talks about the Reformation. It's just a fabulous thing to do. Pastors get in. So we do pastor seminars all throughout the country. It's a one afternoon seminar. 2-hour course in the morning. Lunch. 2-hour course in the afternoon. Your pastor will be so equipped. And all that fog and smoke will be completely removed. And he'll understand now, oh, I get it. I get it. I would love to have these classes taught in my church. They're 20-minute DVDs. It can be a Bible study for any of your churches. You can teach before or on Wednesdays, things like that. Teach you how to run for office, too. I just want to leave you with this, and then I want to do Q&A. If anybody has questions and answers, I know we're in a tight time frame. How do we restore the republic? How many of you can travel to 3 states a month around the country teaching what you just learned today. I'm not saying that to set myself on a pedestal, although I am on a pedestal. It's not what I'm doing. The point I'm trying to make is that is what I do. And if you determine, you prayerfully consider to support our ministry, I want you to support this ministry, first of all, because this is so important what the Unity Foundation is doing. Unbelievable. This is amazing. It really is truly amazing. If you support our ministry every week, I will send you an email. It will have pictures, it will have columns, those videos that I showed you right there, and it will have pictures of a new place, a new state, a new group, from K all the way up to 80 years old, the halls of legislature, the Supreme Court justices, the courts, and county council members, people that we're reaching. I promise you, unequivocally, that money, I'm going to show you how I put it to work every week. Not a once-a-year campaign when we try to fill up a thermometer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every week we're going to be out there pounding the pavement with that support. If you would like to partner with us to do that, I will gladly take that support and show you where it goes to. We also have constitutional study helps. You can buy our course. You can buy our kit. It's right back there. It's one way to get educated. It's another way to support our organization. And then we also have like coloring books and different constitutional help kits, DVDs, things like that on different topics. Does anybody have any questions? Sorry, that was a fire hose. You're all like, whoa, wait, hold on, dude. Where are we? Somebody be the breaker. You know what I do? I teach the seniors in our church. So when they don't talk, and they normally don't, high schoolers don't normally talk. And by the way, I take their phones away from them when they come into my class. That's so insulting. Huh? Oh, yeah. Anyways, I call on people. So this is what I would like to do. Okay, thank you. Do I have a problem with it? Well, there's many problems with it. I mean, its first problem is that it's a system that's comprised of men and women, you know, mankind. So, he said, do I have a problem with the U.S. government system right now? And I said there was many problems within the system. There always has been. There was problems at the Constitutional Convention that gave us the Constitution. It's a matter of us as a culture being salt and light in those. And when they get off the rails, then we challenge that, so that we can stay in liberty. I mean, that's what a police officer does to a criminal. First, we have to educate. Secondly, those that are in office, we have to hold their feet to the fire. You already know the answer. I'm not going to tell you anything new. All I know is that I'm out there pounding the pavement as hard as I can to reach as many people as I possibly can, to go into places that people don't think you can go into, like public schools and different things like that, and start courses in areas that people didn't think anybody was interested in, and talk to pastors that they said those pastors will never get it. They're too dumb. They don't care. All they care about is their building and stuff like that. Guys, that's not the case. Most people are very sincere. If you can appeal to that and you go in the power of prayer, by the way, that's been the emphasis today. I hope you all caught that, right? Without that, it doesn't matter. You're exchanging tyrants and tyrannies. Republican tyranny is just as bad as Democrat tyranny. It's not about a political party. It's about Jesus Christ and the God who gave us our rights. He's the author of them. He'll be the one to fix it. And we know all the verses. We know the Chronicles verse. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves, repent, pray, and turn to the Lord, then I'll heal their land. I remember interviewing Mary Kiffmeyer. I used to do talk radio. And she gave me that verse. And I had never heard of it up until that point. And I thought that was fantastic. There was a woman who's running an office. Is she still a representative here? She's a friend of mine, but I've lost touch with her. She is down in Southern Park. Yeah. So that's the light. That's the light, and that's the hope, and that's how we turn it around. It's not going to happen like this. It won't happen in a year. It won't happen in 10 years. It's taken a long time to get here, but it happens every single day when we train our families, and we don't delegate that responsibility to somebody else. And I know it's hard when you're pursuing careers and stuff like that. I work two jobs. I do this, and I travel, and I got to work another job, because let me just tell you, nonprofits don't pay super well. That's okay. That's my calling. So I get the tendency to want to get more, and that's what America does to us every single day. But guys, there's something more important. The more we get, we're going to lose more. It says in the Bible that a wicked man stores up wealth for who? Somebody he doesn't even know. This is all perishing. What's important is that this foundation remains and that our children can remain in it. Because I see, unfortunately, the ramifications of that, especially when I speak to youth. They think government's in charge of everything. Separation of church and state is just fine. Homosexual marriage is A-okay. Everything contrary to the Bible that the media is kicking up, that's what they're taking in. I have been in many public schools, yes. More, 50-50 split, but private schools more so. And now I'm really focusing on homeschools because it's become a $1 billion industry. And like the Mache that's here, we've been to 5 of them this year so far. I see that as a path of least resistance, right? I don't avoid public schools. I go to them. But I see right there, it's like a gold mine. Those are the people that have no furniture in their house that need to get filled quick. And fortunately for us, as those that are smart and educated in the society, that get a good education, they rise to the top pretty quickly, and they generally sit in the seats of power. So that's kind of what I'm trying to leverage and get into. While not abandoning others, but I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Any other questions? And if you do have questions you don't want to bring publicly, I'd be happy to take them back there at the table. Yes, sir.
Can you speak to, I guess something you shared yesterday?
Yes. Okay, so, thank you. But what do you mean specifically? Was it the part that we were talking about? Oh, what, like what I just said? Okay, so let me flesh that out a little bit more. So homeschool students, I'm not picking on any students, and I was speaking to a mostly public school group. Was it yesterday?
Yesterday morning.
And so I said to the public school students, it's probably going to be the homeschool students that are running for office. I said that way too quickly, and I didn't flesh that out enough. I think it might have hurt some of their feelings. I didn't mean it to. But the point I'm trying to make is that, excuse me, that was very rude, but I got to keep talking. I got three more days, so. The public school students, unfortunately, have a handicap. They have to relearn a whole lot of stuff once they get out of it. Okay? I'm not picking on administrators, I'm not picking on teachers, I'm not picking on principals. God bless them, they're doing their best. It's a failing system, and it will continue to fail. It just will, because it's built on the wrong foundation. And I have columns about that too that fleshes that out far more. I'm not just saying that flippantly. I've done the research, I've done the study, and I've watched the education trend from the beginning of our country to where it's at right now. But unfortunately, they're going to have to relearn a lot of stuff. Whereas, it seems to me that most homeschool students, there's an exception to every rule, so don't hold me to this unequivocally. Most homeschool students get the pureness of a curriculum that the parent absolutely wants, so they can put the right computer program right from the beginning and not have to fix any of the bugs. And as a result, the homeschooling students, they only go to school for a couple hours, 3 hours a day, because you can get educated in 3 hours. You don't need to take 10 hours. You just don't. There's no fighting for attention. You got the teacher's attention in 3 hours. So they have this opportunity in their lives to grow up and become leaders. My little kids make money right now. Stupid money. I can't even believe it. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, drove this 10-speed bicycle in the snow to deliver papers to make like $6. My kid builds cornholes, goes on to Craigslist, and sells them for $130. Come on! It's almost better money than I make. So he's able to do that because of the education that he's getting. He's also able to go to college sooner. He could go to college when he's 15. That's how smart he is, and that's how accelerated he is in his studies. He wants to be a work for NASA on the space station. And he's already got contacts because I travel all around the country and people love my children and they talk to them and find their interest. So that's what I'm trying to say is that as a homeschooled student, you have these opportunities. You know, so many people say, I love this. This is my grandmother.
Oh, do your kids get, do they get to socialize with other children?
Yes, Grandma, they do.
Do they have all the opportunities? Because the public schools have nice computers and labs and things.
Yes, Grandma, they get that. I bring them to the lab, the creators of the lab. You know, so those are the opportunities I'm saying with public or with homeschooling that they can have. And also too, if you watch the trends, just watch this right now. In many states, there's many homeschoolers that are starting to run for office right now, and they're being promoted to very important positions. It's not to say public school students can't do it. I think kids are brilliant, they'll rise to the occasion and put them in. But that's the advantage that I feel that homeschool students have. Awesome. Whoa, we're starting to lose our crowd right now. Sorry, ladies. So that's the best time to stop. My friend Michael Perutka, he started the organization, he said, he's an attorney. When you're before the judge and you think you won, stop talking. So that's all I have. Thank you very much for your time, guys.